بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت لقمان علیہ السلام is the only born Nabi whose words of wisdom are contained in the Quran Sharif. Someone has asked him, but weren't you that shepherd that was grazing sheep at that certain mountain pass? Yes. Weren't you a slave for so and so persons? Yes. Then how did you escalate? Coming from a slave background, like a person who's got no reputation, no social reputation, no complexion, no reputation, and then you've escalated so high that people from far and wide, they come to your gatherings to learn the words of wisdom. So he says, there were certain things that I was very, very punctual about. And this is the reason why Allah Ta'ala allowed the words of wisdom to flow out of my tongue. One is that I was very honest, truthful. No matter who it was, a friend or a foe, but in my honesty, in my truth, I was committed, and there was no flaw in that regard. Sometimes it happens, we are truthful, we are honest, but we are selective, where we need to be honest, and where we need to be dishonest, where we need to be truthful, and where we can make a plan. So this was one. Number two is this, that I never got myself engaged in things that don't concern me. What concerns my dunya, concerns my hereafter. Then I worked, I got myself attached to it, but doesn't concern my dunya, doesn't concern my akhirat, I left it out. If you commit yourself to this truth, honesty, Allah will bless you as well. Allah Ta'ala's promises are with values. Western civilization, material civilization culture, prides itself around show and parade. So there's two supports, two pillars of support they have. One is show and parade. So everything is about show. How this thing looks, how this building, how that car, how that person looks. So everything is about the look, the presentation and the look. That is the one pillar that they pride themselves with. And the second thing that they boast about is the unbridled, uncensured level of permissibility for pleasure. Any amount of pleasure, an unbridled, uncensured level of pleasure. So these are the two pillars of Western secular material culture and civilization. On the contrary, when you receive something in perspective, you have to compare. You understand the beauty of the day when you see the night. You understand the taste of sweet when you have something that is bland. So without the opposite, you cannot value, you cannot evaluate. On the other hand, look at Islamic culture. And Islamic culture also supports itself on two pillars, mainly after Iman. And there's two supports Islam has got. One is Islam works, strives towards good values, very good, sound, pure values. At any level of life, personal life, domestic life, social life, political life, but what it looks towards is values. Right? So we're not concerned about ruling and taking control. The greater concern is, have you got the values? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, when he had the reins of the government in his hand, the greatest power. So someone suggested to him that you see, you're very lenient and you're very soft. Because of your softness and lenience, it mustn't be that the kuffar take advantage and they take control over you. So his one reply was, إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَمْ يُبْعَثْ جَابِيًا. Nabi Sam wasn't sent to amass wealth, show of hands. That wasn't the whole purpose of Nabi Sam. So Nabi Sam's outlook was different. It wasn't for the show of hands. It wasn't to amass wealth. It wasn't to get so much of popularity. It was what? Values. So the one pillar that Islam rests upon is strong values. My one friend sometimes meets up with some minister for some work, whatever. So he says that this minister, when he saw me and he saw Islam, etc., something affected him. Meanwhile, this minister, he is the minister in the parliament, but with that, he's also a pastor in the church, with a following about 4,000 or 5,000 following. So when he got affected with me, then every now and then he asked for some teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, can you give me something that I may give it to my congregation on this Sunday? And then he'll quote that this is what Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. So he's giving me a report that said, the last time that I spoke to my sermon, to my people, and you've given me this hadith that Nabi Sallam speaks about an orphan, and the kindness that you show to an orphan, pass your hand over his head, for every hair you get a reward. And he says the whole sermon was in tears. Now, I want to contrast Western civilization culture against Islam. So their whole outlook is towards show, parade, and an uncensored level of pleasure. Right? Now, for the show business of theirs, how do they carry on and continue? They will scatter monuments and museums in every conspicuous place. Different types of museums, different type of monuments, so that they could boast about their past glory. This is the equipment we had. This is the type of military that we had. This is the type of industries that we had. So this is what they will boast about. But I ask you that if you visited the museum or their monuments, and it may remain in your memory for a day, 2 days, max maybe 5 months, 4 months. After that, it's forgotten. Now here, Nabi Sam is just one word. It's got no material value. So as to say, no material value. It's not something that you can see, not tangible, but it's just a value. The value of his is shared with the community, with the people that don't recognize him as a Nabi. But it shook them that the whole congregation was full up with tears. So what was it? Islam stands for values. All these things, rule, control, power, that is not what Islam stands for. Allah Ta'ala promised, if you bring that quantity, Allah Ta'ala will give you control. The quantity and the quality, if you bring, He'll give you control. But that is not the glory of Islam. The glory of Islam is sifat. It is this rich, healthy, sound values. Now that pastor is asking this friend of mine, what's there for this week? What's there for this week that I can share with mine? Because he knows that his books have got nothing. Nothing, no rich values. If it is, they got anything only about crucify for your sins. That means the license to do wrong. Why? Every type of wrong you can do. Because he died for your sins, so anything and everything will go. Rob, cheat, do everything. So long as you are robbing and cheating legally, what you must have, a legal stamp. And the legal stamp will make everything permissible. So that's the value that they live for. And here we live for what? We live for sound, strong, healthy, beautiful values. Right. And number two, Islam stands for, the second value that Islam stands for at every level, modesty, shame, honesty. This is what Islam stands for. So we're talking about Luqman alayhi salam. Someone asked him, Luqman, hikmat, wisdom, where did you learn? Where did you acquire this? When we talk about wisdom, what do we mean? One is democracy, right? So that is now how to make a plan for a person, how to try and manipulate. In the present context, when we talk about democracy, etc., is how to manipulate a situation, how to prevail. So that's called democracy. And Islam doesn't stand for this. Islam actually calls the present day democracy hypocrisy. We call it democracy because we consume this culture, not even realizing that we are eaten up. So, what is the meaning of hikmat, wisdom? Wisdom is, I've seen a lot of kitabs, but I've come to this few words, what wisdom refers to. The right thing, said at the right time, at the right place, with the right intention, with the right approach. So you've got these five elements, then that's called wisdom. Right thing, at the right time, at the right place, with the right intention, and the right approach. It may be the right thing, but was your approach right? It may have been the right thing, but was your intention right? Or was the time right? Was it the time to say this such a thing? So, all these put together brings you to wisdom. So Allah blessed him with wisdom. Now, he's asked, this wisdom, where did you acquire it? How do you get this wisdom? So he says, as ablahe, I acquired this wisdom through this foolish people, fools. Now you think, hey, what are you talking now? You know, wisdom is such a great thing. It's like a pillar of support of Islam. And you say you learned it from the fools. How do you come to that conclusion? How do you arrive to that conclusion? And this Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullahi contains this story. His kitabs, Gulista, Bosta, there's two kitabs that are offered in the madrasas in India mainly. Yeah, you don't find it. India you find it. Gulista and Bosta. Before it was taught at a very high level, now they just teach it surface. So, the one kitab is about management, how to work things, how to live as Muslims, how to administer, teach you a lot of experience, you know, experience, how you do this, how you go about doing this, how you go about managing affairs. So one is about managing affairs, administration, etc. And the other one is about the tasawwuf and how to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both his wisdom, books are loaded with wisdom. Another blessed him, really blessed him. And he lived so long, for 98 or 99 years of age. A lot of wisdom, and he traveled, very broadly traveled, and the summary of his journeys and his travel are contained in his kitabs, whatever he learned from it. He went to India, Afghanistan, Makkah, Medina, everywhere, even Egypt, all his countries. And then he learned. On the way he learned. I learned this from here, I learned this from there. So he's asked now this question, a little bit of a person with a fine, refined temperament as well, a little bit witty and refined temperament as well. So once someone asked him, he was traveling around Baitul Muqaddas. So at that time there was some problem carrying on in that area. I'm talking back about the 7th century, and there's a problem carrying on here, and he's traveling as a tourist. So when they saw him as a foreigner, person not of the land, so they felt suspicious that he's a spy. They apprehended him. In prison, someone recognized him. They saw what happened, so they bailed him out. Now after he's bailed out, he got him married to his daughter. Nothing comes from Allah. So anyway, now the daughter got to know that this would happen, that he bailed him out, and then he got him married. So daughter had to taunt him one day. Yeah, you the same person. My father got you bailed out for 10 dirhams. So now, he wasn't rude and aggressive or impolite, but where things had to be said, then you need to say it. Provided you've got that understanding, and you know how to say it, you say it. But if you don't know how to say it, then rather just keep quiet. Sometimes, when you don't know how to say things, then you try and put things right, but you'll create hundreds of problems for yourself and for others. So when you don't have that wisdom, that knowledge, I don't have that understanding. I will go and say something, I will cause a fight, I will cause confusion, I will cause problems amongst people, so rather just move away. Nabi Sallam is also commanded, Ma ana minal mutakallifin. That say, I don't make up things. I don't know something, I say I don't know it. I know it, I will explain that to you. But if I don't know it, Nabi Sallam is asked about which is the best spot in the world. No, I don't know. Allah Pak asks the Malaika after creating Adam alayhi salam, Nabbi'uni bi asma'i ha'ulai in kuntum sadiqeen. Tell me the names of all these things. Whatever creation Allah Pak placed before them, tell me the names. So they didn't feel embarrassed saying, Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma'alamtana. We don't know it. So they didn't feel embarrassed. Nabi Sallam didn't feel embarrassed. From Malik rahmatullah alayhi, in one sitting he was asked about 25 some odd questions. For approximately 20 questions, he says, no, I don't know. La adri. So he didn't pretend to be what he isn't. Now this becomes a sore point in this day and time, that we will want to pretend to be what we aren't. We don't know it. We don't really finish. End of the story. Nabi Sallam didn't feel embarrassed. The Malaika didn't feel embarrassed. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi didn't feel embarrassed. Nabi Sallam presented the whole question to Jibreel Islam. Ayyul buqa'i khayrun. Which is the best peace on the surface of the earth? Jibreel Islam also says, I don't know about it. So Jibreel Islam didn't feel embarrassed. Nabi Sallam didn't feel embarrassed. The Malaika didn't feel embarrassed. We feel embarrassed today to say, no, I don't know. I don't know it. To say that, we don't know it. Can't say it. Whereas, the ulama say, to say I don't know is half of knowledge. Largely. Allahu A'lam. How many times we sat in the company of my ustad, they asked him some masail. And at that time he was now the mufti of the whole of India. Grand mufti. And he'll say straight, Mujhe is masle par tahqeeq nahi hai. I don't know this masla. Straight. Without any embarrassment or feeling less of himself, he will say straight, I don't know it. End of the story. So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam, he says, I learned wisdom from who? I learned the wisdom from Az-Ablih, from people that were a little bit foolish. I learned it from them. Now, it sounds surprising that how come he learned it from the fools? Says, I studied, I seen properly, I seen life, and I see how people get into problems and how people come out of problems. So, I learned from the stories or the experiences of the fool. Now, just to make us understand, you know, how we learn from the fools, right? One friend of mine is telling me that last week sometimes he was traveling and he picked up his phone to answer, right? And just then, one police just stop him and fine him for 1,500 rand. So now, see, you learn from a fool. You know, you're going to do something like this, you're going to get into problems. When you're going into problems now, then how do you save yourself out of the problem? Don't do it. Why must you do it? Why must you experiment it, get into problems, and then bail yourself out of the problems? So we're talking of Sheikh Sadi rahmatullahi, and his wife is taunting him, you know. Yeah, you that very person, that my father had bailed you out for 10 dirhams. So he says, like I say, now you need to know these things. You understand it properly, you understand it, you digested it very well, then you reply. You don't have any embarrassment, no problems, you don't cause and create a confusion. said, yeah, very well, your father did bail me out for 10 dirhams, but he got me married to you with a mahar of 100, so he got me jailed for 100 and gave me 10. So I'm explaining this concept, you know, you learn from the fools. Like in a madrasa situation, so I was explaining to the student, now, the person wants to study very well. Now how does he learn from the fool? I see, alright, I see this person here is wasting his time, whiling away, not interested, getting into disputes, discussions, debates, right? Things that don't concern him. That's his time is being consumed in all that. Then I see at the end of the year or the term or the time of the examination, and his results are coming very bad. He's feeling very embarrassed to go home. At a time where every child is looking forward to go home, enjoy himself with his family and friends, now he's feeling very, very embarrassed. But what was the reason for this embarrassment? The reason is that he didn't conduct himself, he didn't behave correctly. When he didn't behave correctly, now this was the result. Sheikh Saadi again says, Rahmatullah Ali. Now he's talking with a whole lot of experience, whole surges of experience. He says, when Allah Ta'ala wants to embarrass someone, then he gets him involved in two types of crimes. When he wants to embarrass someone, when he wants to drop him down, then what is an indication? You know, in life, you have gauges for everything. Temperature, there's a gauge. Petrol, there's a gauge. Tire pressure is a gauge. Everything is a gauge, right? So, how do you make out that Allah Pak is dropping this person down? He escalated, perhaps, and then now he's falling down to pieces. How do you make out? There must be some gauge, some way you can make out. So, he says two things. Indicate that this person is being dropped. Allah Pak dislikes him, so he's going down. One thing is, he says, Allah Pak engages him in talking ill of the elders, parents, your ustads, mashayikh, the elders of the past. You think too much of yourself and run them down, thinking to yourself that I'll run them down and I'll escalate. So this is an indication that this person is going to fall just now. Just now he's going to fall. And it'll be just time before he falls. Just explain this, and while I've explained this morning on the phone, right? I won't say from where this country, another country, so that nobody knows the particulars, right? So one person, phone, I know I got some acquaintance with him, so he says, I'm a member of the school, right? And you know this person also, but you know, he's been imprisoned for molestation. He molested some girl or whatever. So the same person, I had spoken to him some years ago, right? Just be careful. Be careful what you're doing. Be careful of your approach. Repeated, I remember at least 5 times I told him, be careful. See, what things that you're talking, things that you're discussing, your behavior is not right. And now, he didn't take it serious. Now, about 5 years later, down the line, he's dropping. Now it's an embarrassment. But in the workplace, or whichever school he was in, he caused a problem and the police have apprehended him. But you see how it takes, how it goes. So this is a plan of Allah Ta'ala. So two things he says that brings about a person's fall, his disgrace, his embarrassment, and fall. One is you begin to revile and speak ill about elders, great people, you know, seniors, parents, Buzurganatim, Bashai. You think, no, I've got a lot of experience, I've done a lot of research, so I know a lot. So your mind makes you think like that. And then suddenly you just collapse, you just drop. And how easily you can drop. Now see, this person, up to the time that I knew him, was respected. But this was the problem, the tongue was the problem. Talking about that person, writing about this person here, running this person down here. And then from where he was, now he just dropped. Now he's in prison, now that man that is talking to me, he's a member of the school, right? So he may, you know, it's a disgrace for the school. What do we do now? What do we do? Now you see that news doesn't remain now. Now it goes around everywhere. So how easy it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just drop you, just to trip you off. So at no point in time can a person be boastful or feel complacent about himself. So you see, we don't talk ill about people generally. It's a rule that we don't talk ill about people. To the extent, Gangohi Sabrahim has asked, what do you have to say about Yazid? And we know about the atrocities, the wrongs that he did, right? But he says that the person that is sure about getting into Jannah, he can speak out against Yazid. Once you are sure, certain, certified that you are going to Jannah, then you may talk about Yazid, right? You don't have that assurance, you're not guaranteed, then you are swearing Yazid, and perhaps Yazid will laugh at you, right? You're swearing me, but you are worse off than myself. So until you're not certified, until then, right, just hold yourself, just restrain. Now sometimes you may hear, alright, some very senior alim, right? Now a senior alim is a different person, very, very senior. Everybody respects him for his knowledge, understanding, his selflessness, his sincerity. So sometimes he may speak out, right? Now, he's got the right to speak. But if he speaks, it doesn't mean that we've got the right to speak. He, because of his standing, because of his position, because of his responsibility, he'll have to speak. Al-Mu'ad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. There were a number of ulama-i kiram seated around him. And one is saying that this person declares that person is a kafir, that person is a fasik, that person like this, etc., etc. So Mu'ad allowed them to continue after some time. So then he says, "Tum kis janjat mein pare ho? What type of futile discussion you people are involved in?" And he says, "What do you think that Allah Ta'ala will check your fatwa, and according to your fatwa that you have passed, He'll put people to Jannah? He will first see your fatwa, what you say, and then He'll put them into Jannah. A lot of people that you feel that are out, they are fasting, etc., they will go clear into Jannah. So, tum kis janjat mein pade ho? What type of futile discussion you people are involved in?" But then he says, "Intizam shara ko barqarar rakhne ke liye kabhi ulama ko zarurat par jati hai fatwa zahir karne ke upar." Sometimes senior, very senior ulama, very, very knowledgeable, understandable, sight, vision they have got, right? They are compelled, they are constrained to pass a fatwa of disbelief. They also are very cautious. They will not just find one statement and just pass a fatwa, that they won't do it. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi was once asked, I'm showing you now the level of caution they will exercise. So we're not at that position, we don't pretend to be at that position. He is at that position, he will speak. But if you are not at that position, then you don't speak. As though you're saying, no, I also have that level of knowledge that he's got. He's got that level of knowledge, that understanding, that maturity, that composure, and that comprehensiveness. He's got a holistic approach. But do you have holistic? When you don't have it, then don't pretend. Right. So I just want to share one, two incidents of his life. Right? So the Darum Dioman, the istiftah came, a Christian came. So one person went to a tobacconist and he's asking for a tobacco. Right? So the person saw the tobacco, it was loose tobacco, perhaps he tasted it, said, "Hey, usse zyada tez chahta hu. I need something even stronger. I don't want something very mild. I don't want Stuyvesant. I want Lexington." So that person brought something stronger. Said, "Usse zyada tez, something even stronger." "No, no, I don't want that. Something even stronger. I want something even stronger." Now, in tobacco, they talk about it being bitter, you see. Being bitter. So, this tobacconist had to say, "Usse zyada karwa khuda ka naam." More bitter than this is the name of Allah Ta'ala. Now, istifta, sawal. Fal yujir. Answer this and you'll be rewarded. So the whole question comes to Darul Deoband. Okay, this is the person and this is the answer he had given, the question, the tobacconist. So, is he still a Muslim or is out of Islam? What is this person's position? So Musab gave an answer. He says, you see, to the tobacconist, the strength of the tobacco is counted as a symbol, as a sign of perfection. Right? In a tobacconist, in his shop, what is counted as a sign of perfection? The strength, how strong it is, how strong. So what this person implied, that by this is our limit. And stronger than this is the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't mean that Allah Ta'ala is more bitter. No. What he was referring to, stronger this is our limitation. We end up at this point here. But stronger than this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we have saved him from kufr. See? So, I ask you now, are we so cautious? Are we so careful? Or we just hear something straight away, we just want to issue something. So the care, the caution that is exercised by the level, by this type of ulama, it's a different thing. They understand, they have that maturity, they have their experience, they have their exposure, that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they would say something. Now we don't have that maturity, we don't have that understanding, and then we have to blurt out something, we cause problems afterwards. Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayh. See, these ulama ikram, they have got the right to talk. Because they have got their experience, they've got their maturity, they've got their understanding. So he passed a fatwa about a certain type of a bird being permissible, edible, right? Now, one person somewhere in India, he says, today this thing can come permissible, tomorrow some vulture, everything can become permissible. Now, vulture is a dirty bird, right? Filthy bird lives off all filth. They said, today he allowed this, tomorrow he'll allow that as well. Now that person also is a buzuruk, he's also a great person here. But he doesn't have that level. And when you don't have that level, you can't pretend to be like that. Al-Mawad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah was at that level. Someone saw in the dream that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Nabi Sam asked him approximately 99 or 100 questions. And he answered all this, all the right. And after that, Nabi Sam endorsed him. Now, we allow you to pass fatwas. So the endorsement came from above. See? Now, when he's at that level, if he says something, it will have that type of weight, it will have that type of power. And it doesn't create a confusion amongst people. No, you don't hear. Al-Mu'ad-Bin-Yus said something and created a big confusion, problems, whole community was divided. You don't hear about that. Unless now, obviously, someone wanted to create mischief out of nothing, that's his problem. It was nothing, it wasn't an issue, but he made an issue of no issue. Right? It's a different thing. He in himself is very great. Right? One person now, their heart was so magnificent as well. No grudge for anybody. One person comes up to one of Hazrat Gangohi's murid. So, I think his name was Hazrat Haji Tajammul Hussain, right? He says, I want to take bayat at your hand. Now, this person here, normally all professional persons will go up to him for bayat, etc. So, this person comes up to him and says, I want to take bayat at your hands, right? But remember, myself, I hurl abuse at all your mashayikh, Al-Mu'ad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, Al-Mu'ad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, all of them. I hurl abuse, I insult them. But after all this shortcoming of mine, if you still have it within you to accept me for bayat, then I will be glad. Right? Alright, no problem. You accepted it. Not even a week passed, this person comes up, crying, he is full of tears. You know, I want to make istighfar and tawbah in your presence. So what happened? He said, no, I saw Nabi Sassam. And I saw Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi seated before him, right? I saw him seated before him. like how you sit in tashahhud, right? He was seated in that posture. His hand was on the Mubarak thighs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he's asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in logo se zara pooch lo, ke mera kya kusoor hai? Mere khilaaf is tarah se kyun baatein karte hai? Just ask these people here, what's my fault? Why are they hurling abuse, insulting me? So Nabi Sallam took his hand, embraced him, and said, lekin main aapke shaan mein kuch kehta nahi. They may be hurling abuse, but I don't say anything about it. Now when he saw this, he got a shock. What I was talking about, and this man, what is he really? He's a different person altogether. What I was thinking about, what he is really. So he said, I came to make Tawbah. I retract all the wrong that I was doing. I'm retracting. So he must have been a sincere person, but he's misinformed. So Allah Ta'ala corrected the person. So when this person made this statement against Al Mu'adh Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, so he saw a void within him. Straight away he noticed now, you know, I had a certain level, right? And now I don't see that level. I don't see myself progressing like I used to I was progressing. Everything was like, you know, clockwise, everything happening. And so smoothly it was going on. Now I'm just seeing myself just collapsing all the time. What's happened to me? He's trying to work out now, where did I go wrong? And everything was working out, tahajjud, Quran Sharif, namaz, zikr, everything was happening right. My home environment, everything was right. But now everything is just collapsing within me. Where this thing stem from? So he went to one person, the second person, and the third person. Eventually, he went to one buzurg. That buzurg said, shayad tune kisi buzurg ke shaan mein gustakhi ki ho. Perhaps you had insulted some person, some buzurg, some great mashayikh of the time, you had insulted him. So he thought about it, he said, yes, I did utter this. When that fatwa was issued, so I did mention this, that today they can make this halal, tomorrow they'll make virtues of the halal. So that's the point. So now what must I do? I said, go and ask him for maaf. He goes there, and he hardly reaches, and he hears that Mullah has made him maaf. When he heard that Mullah has made him maaf, that vacuum that was in him, that void that was in him, that thing just dropped. Now he is back to normal. He's got the same charge, he's got the same type of morale has picked up, the charge has come in, everything is back to normal. Takes a U-turn and goes back. So these are two points, these two areas that will be the gauge to see whether the person is progressing or is falling. One is your time, etc. What is it used up in rebuking, insulting, hurling abuse, running down especially some great person of deen, who has served deen, etc. He served deen, and you have got the heart to revile him. Now, your knowledge is so much, he's got so much of knowledge, so much of understanding, and then you want to compare your knowledge against his, and you see something not in conformity to what your thinking is like, and you want to run him down, and then you bring yourself to this peril, to this destruction. And the second way is that the sensual pleasure, see, it stems from here, sensual pleasure. You know, in this world here, your respect is in proportion to your restraint. As you restrain, to that proportion is your respect. And as your restraint breaks, your respect also goes. That's a law, and I think that law is across the board. You restrain, and proportionate to your restraint is your respect. Right? Now look at it. To look at a woman with lust, or a youngster with a girlish face, to look at him with lust, haram, right? Impermissible. But now, if you restrain yourself from looking at girls, and amras, etc., then proportionately is your respect. But the day your children get to know, Abba is watching this phone here, which all nonsense is looking at, you know. He's looking at this girl, he's looking at this photography, he's looking at whatever else. I ask your own children, will they respect you? Your respect is gone. So your respect in this world and the hereafter is proportionate to your restraint. How much you restrain? You restrain and and you're just climbing up, you're just escalating. You restrain, and you're just escalating. You have a very good relationship with your wife, and your wife must just know, but this person is interested in that auntie also, you know. What happens? Every khidmat that you do, you should press your feet, press your head, make that sankari for you, all your nonsense, she would take on, your mehmar, everything. No, you can tell her, she can take care of you. She's there, she'll make your khidmat, it's alright. See, that restraint, when your restraint broke, the respect is gone, everything is gone. So as long as you've got that restraint, everything works out. And the moment that restraint collapses, then everything, all that guard has dropped, and now you've exposed yourself to all the problems. The wealth and the business is going very well. As long as you practice restraint, right? You kept yourself to halal, and you avoided haram, right? So until that point, everything was going very well. But now, your eyes are not filling up. You're seeing, oh, this person has got this car. He's got this type of house. He's here for that type of holidays. So, now your aspirations, your hopes are just multiplying, just going up, right? So when it's escalating like this, but now you need some type of finance to service all this pleasure. You want to service all this pleasure, so you need the finance. Now look for something. Now you're going to mix up halal, haram, everything. So what happens today in this life, because we see now what's going here, what he's doing, what he's doing, how much he's enjoying. So we'll squeeze Islam into our enjoyable life. Squeeze Islam. Bust it, break it, trim it, whichever way, but squeeze it into Islam. Whereas it was right for us to do the opposite. The right thing was squeeze yourself and fit yourself into Islam. Leave all the extras, squeeze yourself into Islam. Now, we have to squeeze Islam into our life, for all our lifestyle, banking, interesting, haram, halal, mixed up, everything. Make it look Islamic and fit it in. Make it look Islamic and fit it in, squeeze it into Islam. Someone came during the week, he's asking about banks. I said, oh, the Islamic banks. I said, how can it be Islamic? I think even an ordinary person with a shallow level of intelligence, he will not be comfortable at all. So, Mona, but why do you say that? So, alright. As you walk into a bank, right? Alhamdulillah, I haven't been to an Islamic bank up till now. Right? I think I've been to a bank about 3 times in my life for the madrasa to sign something. And after that, I said, hey, I don't even know this. I don't like this environment. So, I don't want to be here also, right? So, but I hear now what's going on in this bank, what goes on. Come and ask Muslims, or they come and ask, so you have to answer them. So he said, Ma, but what makes you uncomfortable? So I told the person, all right, the front row, you know, the first serf that you get in the bank, aren't they women whose breasts are semi-naked? So this is the picture they're giving of Islam. Now, can that be Islamic? Can they be Islamic? When they're so disrespectful to Islam, then can they be calling themselves as Islamic banks? That first line, as you're going there, all the breasts are showing out. All the haram is showing out. So what are they inviting you? Towards the breast, you must come and drink the milk? Or they inviting you towards halal? What are they inviting you towards? Think for yourself. It's an open disgrace, embarrassment to Islam. And then we've got the heart to say, no, it's Islamic. So we want to squeeze Islam to make it look permissible. Use this term here, that term there, this term here, out of place, in place, but make it look permissible. Just showing you our pious of the past, how their lives were. See, one Islamic value that is fast going out of our lives is the value of contentment. In fact, Nabi Sam is teaching us, make dua, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Can't be contentment. Nabi Sam only took a loan when his family was in constraints. There was the basic, he couldn't give them the basic provisions. Wheat, basic provisions. So he kept his armor as a pawn, as a collateral, and he took a loan, right, from a Jew. Right. take a loan. Who is personal finance won't take a loan. Now, are we at that level that only at the time that we are in total constraints that we take a loan? No. We need to take the loan, and the bank that is providing the loan, he says, nothing comes for nothing. You know, you get into a musharaka, muzaraba, give some terms and all that, and now, see, we are partners now, so I will qualify to take something from you. And the way they squeeze that Islam into the contract, that the common person feels not permissible. So I say both are wrong. That common person is also wrong, and the bank is also wrong. You wanted that type of pleasure, so you needed to make that type of compromise. Both. Now, we want to know, alright, you know, why don't we see the barakah in our lives, in our time? We don't see the muhabbat within ourselves, within our families. We don't see the type of level of love. We don't feel that fulfillment and satisfaction within ourselves. So it's easy, it's simple to understand. The understanding is like this. See, just 50, 60 years ago, people's greater concern was halal, right? Contented lives and halal. So they didn't have much, but there was a lot of love, muhabbat, barakat, fulfillment. They felt fulfilled, they felt satisfied. That thing turned away. When you went into, moved away from there to secular education, materialism, that type of culture, that type of civilization. So that civilization takes, you know, you must have a lot of figures, run after figures, right? So when you ran after figures, Allah gave you the figures. But when He gave you the figures, He took away the satisfaction, the mutual love that you have, the fulfillment and satisfaction that you have in ibadah, Allah took that away. So you'll find the satisfaction in all that, and you don't find the satisfaction here. You'll find the love in everything else, but your own family and people, etc., Muslims, you don't find the satisfaction and happiness. You don't find it. So you ran after it, Allah gave it to you, but He took this away from you. So as though you got the equipment for love, minus the love. You got the equipment for pleasure, but no enjoyment. You got the equipment for comfort, but no comfort. Within your house, you don't feel comfortable. You don't feel satisfaction. You don't feel muhabbat. Why? You ran after this, so He gave it to you. So I'll take this away from you. And there that person's nazar was different. His nazar was Allah. Allah likes a simple life. Al-bazadatu min al-iman. He likes that. He doesn't like this type of a lavish life. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّنَعُمْ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِمُتَنَعِمِينَ. Allah doesn't like that. Servants of Allah, they don't offer comfort, right? Easy, simple, straightforward, live within your means. Don't run after this. You ran after this, He takes the satisfaction away. He takes the love away. He takes the barakah away. He takes the pleasure away and gave you what you wanted. But minus the satisfaction. So I ask you, the money is for what? It is for satisfaction, right? Feeding is for what? To generate muhabbat. So there is no muhabbat. No satisfaction, no muhabbat, nothing. So that is when your nazar turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala onto this type of materialism. When into materialism, He gave you that material, He took this pleasure out of you, muhabbat out of you. See how Allah reversed the whole thing around. Many a times, the problem is with the public, general public, right? And I say, that when you leave out a sunnah, right? When you leave out a sunnah, right? When you go into some wrong, then Allah Ta'ala deprives you of a sunnah, right? You go into something wrong, and it becomes the general practice of the people to go into wrong, then Allah Ta'ala deprives you of a sunnah, the burden of sunnah. Right? See, before it was such, to loan a Muslim wealth was an easy thing. Alright, you need 50,000, 20,000, 100,000, take it. Payable, very able, right? But now we went wrong. Where we went wrong is, at the time that you want the money, then you my friend, you talk me very nice, making my khidmat, putting my shoes right, everything, doing everything right. Now you got 100,000, you forgot, you don't want to see me, you don't want to take the phone call, you don't want to take the phone again. And then, if I make some demands, all right, produce any document to prove that I have forwarded the loan to you. So when this happened, now the whole community got deprived of the sunnah of helping a Muslim. Your duty was to help the Muslims that was in constraint. But now because of the ill practice, therefore the whole community has been deprived. See that when we go into evil, then sometimes the whole community gets deprived because of this evil that's coming. Before it was a common thing, you come to a different masjid. You went to, for example, Marisburg, right? So someone says, hey, you have to eat, you can't go without eating. And they'll take exception, right? And now you go to, I don't say Marisburg now, but anyway, right? How you alright? You sort it out now? You sort it out? That's the approach. See, the whole thing is reversed. That muhabbat is gone. But just the formality, right, you know, I still like you, I still respect you. So, you sort it out, it's alright. I got some of Jazakallah, Assalamu alaikum. No time, no respect, no muhabbat, nothing. Whereas the hadith is saying, وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. You don't learn to love each other if your iman is incomplete. Iman becomes complete when you learn to generate love, show muhabbat, lend the person, assist the person, help the person, cooperate with him. So when your nazar turned away from something, when that nazar turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it went to material, then material showed you its worth. But when your nazar was on Allah ta'ala, He showed you, from nothing gave you religion. You had absolutely nothing, but your nazar, your whole focus, your dhyan, your nazar, your hopes were in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from nothing, He made things work out for you. But when you turn your nazar away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so alright, now you turn your nazar, let's see, this thing that you put your hopes in, see what it will do for you. Now look at the whole world around. Going to America, being in America, this one here, that one there, with all that wealth. But I say, is there any person that is more disgraced than our own people? So when we left our nigah went away from Allah Ta'ala, went away to these people or to these things here, then there is no person that is more downtrodden, no person that is as disgraced as our own people. Because of sin, that nazar was from Allah, nazar has turned away. Now look at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, right? Hardly any equipment, nothing. Khalid radiallahu anhu is taking the Muslim army into Persia. So the Persian king, Rustum, whoever it is, right, he wants to have a personal dialogue. So Khalid is gone, about 10 Sahaba Kiram, and they come up to Rustum, right? So now, he is the king this side here, and Khalid is coming here. So they laid it out, all Persian carpets, everything laid it out. And Khalid is walking and marching with his 10 Sahaba Kiram, and with the edge of his spear, he tears that whole Persian carpet, puts it one side. So, you know, I honored you, laying out this Persian carpet for you, and you bring disgrace yourself sitting on the bare ground. So he says, the farsh of Allah Ta'ala, the carpet of Allah Ta'ala, is much better than your carpet. So he's not affected. See, now we come and live here, and we get affected. Oh, this carpet has got this, this person has got this, why haven't I got it? He's got this, I don't have it. He's got it. So I ask you, can your words affect that person? It can't work. It can't affect. Because he's watching that. He's after that same wealth, I'm after that wealth. Some dog kutte, two dogs running after the same thing. He's watching that you also running after that bone, and he's running after that bone, right? So there's no difference between you and him. So he doesn't show that respect. Why he doesn't show the respect? You're running after the same that he's running after. So why must he show you the respect? Khalid al-Yaw, then he says to this, Rustum is saying, Khalid al-Yaw, I wish to become your brother, you know. Yeah, definitely, man. You say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, immediately I take you as my brother. This can't happen. He says, well, what's the need for me to take you as a brother? I left my own family, I left them on the basis of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. They are refusing La ilaha illallah, they deny it. So because of La ilaha illallah, I broke away from them. So what's the need for me to take up a friendship or become your brother? What's the need? So it carried on, you know, Khalid, you come into Islam and this is how we'll honor you and respect you. Said, no. Khalid is saying, I'm just waiting, anticipating for the day when you'll be Umar radiallahu anhu and your neck will be just slaughtered on that carpet of Umar radiallahu anhu. You should have a special skin. Jalad will come and he'll slaughter you. Now that king would enrage. He's got 100,000 force here. These people are coming with just 10 people and they're talking to him. In this manner, he got enraged. Yeah. Maro inko. Kill them. But Khalid al-Yaran is saying to the 10 Sahaba Kiram that are with him, said, now our meeting place will be Hawza Kawthar. Right? And just imagine that the fools are waiting for us. It's just a matter of time. Take out your swords, don't look back, and move. When he saw these 10 people coming in, and here is 100,000, right? 100,000, and there is 10. Very weakly equipped, no proper equipment, ragtag, 10 people, ragtag, right? He got such a shock, said, no, just hold on. You know, I was just wanting to see the strength of your faith. Are you committed to your faith or not? So he had to have some front to show that he's not a coward, you know. He had to have some front. So these 10 people, ragtag, without proper clothing, no proper equipment, they could shake. And today I ask you, who's the wealthiest? Our brother wealthiest, right? What they haven't got, they got everything. But then why are they so downtrodden? Because they are watching that you are running after the same bone as themselves. Ye kutte hai, hum kutte hai. Hum bada kutta, ye chota kutta. Baki dono kutte. You are running after the same thing, I'm running after the same thing. You after material, I'm running after material. Alright, I'm the bigger dog, but you are also a dog. So now I can let you dance. I can manipulate you. I can make you do things. So we have come here, why, for what? We've come to any land, we come to establish an Islamic environment to the best of our capacity. Long and short, right? So say, now how can I do it now? You're swimming against the wave, you're swimming against the tide and all that. Say, but everybody can do it. Don't become negative. Trust in Allah Ta'ala and do as much as you can. Imagine you are in a shipwreck, right? Imagine you're in a shipwreck and you've got a lifeboat. The lifeboat has got a capacity of 100, right? So, you don't go to the extremes. When you've got a lifeboat to save 100, they don't pretend to be able to take 1,000. Because you die, you drown everybody else. Right? And you've got a lifeboat, so don't say, no, only me. You and any person that will respond to you, take him along. If every Muslim thinks like that, you know, that I've got a lifeboat, I've got a limited capacity. Obviously, we can't be like the Sahaba Kiram, we can't be like the Nabi Sassan. I've got a small capacity. How much I can do to save Islam, to make an Islamic environment, to build up an environment, how much I can do, let me do that much. If everybody thinks that, I ask you, will this environment not be Islamic? And aren't we then moving in the direction of jihad? We couldn't do that. The fighting we couldn't do because of our limitations. But the whole effort was لِلَّهِ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ, to allow the word of Allah to prevail. I ask you, aren't you working in that direction? And then when working in that direction, inshallah, we'll hope Allah Ta'ala will raise us up amongst them. Allah Fakhtu Fiyasib.